Well, I want to thank you all for providing me the opportunity to speak with you all here today. I want to start out with a story about a young man one morning looking for a place to worship, and he stumbles into a Quaker service. And the people are sitting there communing with the Spirit. He sits down, and about 10 minutes goes by. No one has said a word. He sits for another 15 minutes, and then he stands and asks, "When does the service begin?" And the reply was, "When we leave this place, when we go into the world and touch other people, you know, that's when we start ministering." That's right. And that's when the work begins of the church. I want to share with you today my experiences and practical recommendations on how to refocus our Unitarian Universalist ministry to fortify, support, and improve how we approach and serve communities experiencing crisis, such as yours here in Orange, New Jersey. It has struck me that we don't have Unitarian Universalist congregations at all in some of the areas of this country with the greatest need. You have an opportunity being located here. When I listened to a couple of years ago to Bill Moore's interview with Chris Hedges about the graphic novel Days of Destruction, Days of Revolt, that Hedges published with Joe Sacco on capitalism's sacrifice zones, I knew Unitarians needed to be in those areas. Chris Hedges defined sacrifice zones as areas in this country where Americans are trapped in endless cycles of poverty, powerlessness, and despair as a direct result of corporate greed. And although our inner city communities are some of the worst examples, sacrifice zones are not restricted to urban locations. Rural America also suffers. My childhood coal-producing company town was a sacrifice zone, and much of West Virginia still is. While my earlier upbringing and experience have already sensitized me to the needs of people who live in our country's sacrifice zones, my work in Washington, D.C. as a school teacher, social worker, and counselor in a criminal institution for juveniles. Prior to my beginning a community ministry and beginning Beacon House, further raised my awareness of poverty and need. I saw some sad things as I worked with the children of the District of Columbia. One of the sights that touched me most was when I saw two children one morning, about 4 years of age, sitting on the curb, eating someone else's discarded french fries from the gutter. I suspect that the wretch had shared them earlier that morning. And I thought, will they have anything else to eat today? The first victims are the children. Youth are at the top of the list for being at the bottom. Child poverty has increased even as the amount of food we throw away as a nation has reached embarrassing levels. We have unsupervised youngsters while parents work multiple jobs. We have hungry and homeless children. We have uneducated, sick, and neglected children. In living out our creed, the central issue goes beyond the evils of slavery, bigotry, Jim Crow laws, and segregation. While these various evils have been part of the American society and accepted and often promoted by federal, state, and local governments, the underlying game plan is the orchestrated war against the weakest, the most powerful. Why? For greed, for power, and for dominion. GPD. It's not gross national product, GNP. It is greed, power, and dominion. methods of exploitation have been refined, aggregated, aggressively funded, and pursued, and more importantly, the target of manipulation no longer consists of just the usual cast of characters. That is, the poor black, the poor Hispanic, the poor white. It is expanded to the middle class, and you need to understand that. We all need to understand that we all are in peril. I tell you, there is much that Unitarian Universalists to do. There are numerous ways that we can serve communities of crisis. Show a loving spirit. We must be sharp. We have to be relentless. It is essential to show a loving spirit in our approach and the necessary be in the actual communities we seek to exist. The denomination requires a presence working in cities, the suburbs, and the rural areas of where there are great hardships. We need to be there. I tell you, there is much that Unitarian Universalists can do. There are numerous ways we can serve communities in crisis. We must be sharp. We have to be relentless. And it is essential to show a loving spirit in our approaches and necessary to be in the actual communities we seek to assess. The denomination requires a presence working in cities, the suburbs, and the rural areas where there is great hardship. As Chris Hayes notes, corporations are in those communities or in those sacrifice zones, using the people in the areas and then abandoning them. Unitarian Universalists need to be in those zones, helping people to lift themselves up and out of that corporate abuse and abandonment. Hedges said, greed, it's greed over human life. And it's the willingness on the part of some people who seek personal enrichment to destroy human beings. That's a common thread. We, in the biblical term, have forgotten our neighbor. Unitarian Universalists need to be in those areas, showing that we have not forgotten our neighbors. In my opinion, often we use don't see ourselves as having much in common with many of the people who live in our country's sacrifice zone. But these people are our neighbors, and we need to find our commonalities with them for our own sake, as well as for theirs. When we view others as different from us, it makes it easy to ignore the problems, their trials and tribulations, however eventually become our problems. Finding the commonalities ties into the concept that we are our brothers and sisters keepers and that our universal rests upon the love of one another. Finding this love starts with finding our commonalities. Doing so would enable us to live out our Unitarian Universalist principles and our American ideals. As Rosemary Gray McNatt wrote, and I quote, "The truth is this, if there is no justice, there will be no peace." We can read Thoreau, Emerson, to one another, quote Rilke and Alice Walker and Howard Thurman, and think good things about ourselves. But if we cannot bring justice into the small circle of our own individual lives, we cannot bring justice to the world. And if we do not bring justice to the world, none of us is safe, and none will survive. Nothing that Unitarian Universalists need to do is more important than bringing justice real, is making justice real. Here, where we are, hard as the mercy is, it is our most important task. Martin Luther King Jr. also warned us about injustices. Said we must live together as brothers and sisters or perish as fools. when we leave our worship places and come in contact with those that require our support outside the doors of our edifices, when we go into the communities and volunteer in a school, at a recreation center, where there are great challenges, where we do something about those challenges, then our ministry begins. We don't all have to pack our bags and travel to the sacrifice zones, the hollows of West Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee, or the Indian reservations. The poor or nearly poor are all around and among us. Sacrifice zones may have different challenges, but the struggle we are talking about is increasingly going on within communities that appear well off. I thought I was coming to an inner city community this weekend to be here, but this, to me, is not an inner city community. It's what I just talked about. The problems are here. They're under the surface, and we need to do something about it. My focus is about us, going to the people, where they live, work, love, and raise their families, and investing residents with the tools, information, and resources to help themselves, and collaborating with at-risk residents and communities. Our goal should be to create an ongoing domino effect of generational self-improvement and empowerment. The way we to implement this is through committed on-the-ground services to challenge people. The prerequisite is the establishment of programs that require us to be there all day and evening, getting to know the people, and them getting to know and trust us. Trust is so important when you're working with poor people, because people in the sacrifice zones have been exploited and abandoned too many times. People go in, start a program, use the community and the people, and then leave after a short period of time. The first thought when a new program enters the community is, how long will this last this time? We cannot, in good conscience, limit ourselves to simply educating ourselves about the significant struggle of others. Being aware of the problem and doing little to nothing is unacceptable. We must serve those at risk and in crisis. We must witness to others about victimization. We must determine how we can serve others who need, so their needs can be addressed. It is critical that we add our influence to the voices of communities of the poor as they organize to protect themselves. The devices and methods used to keep people disadvantaged are complex, tangled, organized, orchestrated, and unrelenting. Our ministry cannot be solely on Sunday. Far from it. The ministry actually must begin as soon as we leave our gathering places. If I had a child and I fed it only on Sunday, what would happen to it before the next Sunday? We cannot wall out our congregations off from the oppression and ill treatment of people around us and truly be spiritual communities. Parishioners in Washington, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia were not afraid to be with the people in the community where Beacon House was founded. And you should not be afraid to help people in a school near your church. Start athletic programs and science and math projects. Acquire. Be collaborative, leverage resources, and work in partnership with each other and the community. You have to include the community. That's another reason why I wanted to do a walkthrough. Thought maybe I would be able to find somebody, you know, in a group or crowd somewhere and find out who was the leader in the community. And you need to bring those people in and work with them. You can't go in and say, I know all, I have all the answers. You have to go and find out what they need. What you would like for us to help you do. Decide you are going to help. Decide you will not be deterred. And it will occur. I encourage each person in this room to work with your congregation and your neighboring congregation to serve at risk and in crisis within your community. But please remember that it is important to include people in the neighborhood when creating your ministry. Being in ministry can make our congregation more attractive to those who expect religious communities to have some mission, some calling outside their own walls. In 2002, Henry Britton had an article in the Washington Post entitled, Churches Need to Get Out of Themselves. Britton is Presbyterian, but we Unitarian Universalists can also learn from what he wrote. He said, I've experienced many occasions when the American church has concentrated more on itself than on the world around it, when it has put more energy into maintenance than into mission. People are naturally going to be attracted by a missionary church, one that works from the walls of the church outward. If you start doing something in your community, people will recognize that. And they'll want to come on Sunday. But let me go see what the person is talking about. See what they're doing. And that's what we need to be doing. One among us, Richard Gilbert, that Reverend, I'm old and I forget sometimes. Gordon Bailey talked about him a little bit yesterday. Richard Gilbert. Gilbert. He is somebody that I worship as well. Outstanding Unitarian Universalist minister. He is one among us. Author of Confessions of a Militant Mystic. Spirituality and Social Action. A Seamless Garment. He quoted Ralph Waldo Emerson as saying that everything of God has a crack in it. In response, Gilbert states, ministry is about fixing those cracks, about repairing the world, and creating the beloved community of love and justice. And that's what we need to be doing. It is more than Sunday. The inner urge to work in the service of this vision, he calls the imperative, the prophetic imperative. There have been several significant accomplishments at Beacon House. One has been to support children academically, and the other has been to break the myth that each group, those from the suburb and those from the inner city, held about each other. Suburban white people began to review and challenge their thoughts about black children and young adults. They came to understand that all black children and young adults were not bad. Blacks learned that all white people were not negative towards them. And if given an opportunity, genuinely wanted to help. To me, this was monumental and influential. It eradicated racial, stereotypical thinking. And that's important. Most people in the suburbs get most of their thoughts about the inner city and people in it from the paper, from the news channels, and they don't give you the truth. That's why it's so important that we start touching people in our communities to see what we can do to help them so that we can begin to love. Reverend Britton wrote a statement saying, the church is only a church when it exists for others. Most people who come here on Sunday They might need a little help, but they are already saved in a sense. It's people outside here who need help and need to be saved. In his book, Urban Churches, Vital Signs, Beyond Charity Towards Justice, Neil Harper preaches the Reverend Kirbyon Cardwell and the Winded Methodist Church in Houston, Texas, which Cardwell serves. From a theological point of view, says Cardwell, we believe God is just as concerned about the salvation of the whole community as about the salvation of the individual. I know we don't use God much, but honestly, I need to tell you, I have found God by the work that I do. Sometimes I have an empty pocket, and sometimes I pick my hand in and I pull out dollar bills. And I'm wondering, how did it get there? I'm serious. To me, that is God. Things happen to me, and I know that it is Spirit of God, and I worship the Spirit of God, both male and female, that makes up God. I just don't worship He. You know, if you look in the book of Genesis, it tells you that we should worship God in spirit, both male and female. Anyone who seeks to separate the two has failed to understand the ethos of the Old Testament and the teachings of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Members of the Wednesday Church are nurtured in a community that embodies the expectation that they can and will make a positive difference in a larger world. The church believes that it is called to be a living incarnation of the gospel, active in the world. May use different language than Cardwell does, but we also need to be nurturing members within our own congregations to assure that that there are communities that embody a Holy Spirit, a good spirit. I don't mean no harm, but you need to come to All Souls Church in Washington, D.C. one Sunday, especially when the senior minister is speaking. We have church on Sunday. We are probably the only UU church that almost shouts on Sunday. I'm serious. I'm not just saying that. You need to come. I mean, just visit it one Sunday. I don't know. I don't want to seem present or anything, but every church in the country should send their music person to All Souls to see how, you know, what they do there. We have about three or four different choirs, but all of them, we almost shout sometime on Sunday, and that's unusual for Unitarian University. I have pleaded with you today to do more. I have presented to you why we must do more and what that more can be. And remember, they're coming after you, me too. You need to really look at it. There is an urgency to this. With this as the mission, we can take our cues from how to proceed from a number of our forebears, ministers and laity, like James Reed, who got killed in Selma, Alabama, beat to death, supporting Martin Luther King Jr., Whitney Young, Dorothy Dix, Dorothy Day, not this movie star, but a worker out in the world doing good things. And Clara Barton, our job as Unitarian Universalists is to engage, assist, inform, and guide those among us who are disadvantaged, poor, deprived, and destitute. The best way to do this is by building relationships on the community level. Engage on the ground, so to speak, to truly help people. We must go among those we seek to help, enlighten, inform, and guide. I say we can do more. It is our duty to do more. Our commitment must be to focus, strategic, long-term, and visionary in scope. It isn't a job for the faint of heart. You have to be committed. It's not a 5-day-a-week job or an 8-hour-day job. It's constant. Sometimes people ask me, did you go to church yesterday? And I say, no. And no. I said, I work 6. And I understand that it might come from the scripture that we're supposed to take one. And that's the one I take most of the time. I work, honestly, 9-10 hours almost Monday through Friday. And during football season, I might work 10 or 12 hours. Because we've had 7 to 11 football teams, over 300 kids playing football. And I have to be there to support them. We have a choir that we started. We have cheerleading. We do so much for people in the community. The community was infested with drug dealers when I first arrived. And people need to understand that those young men, that's all the outlet they had as far as with drugs. Schools did not educate them like they should have. And like I told some of you yesterday, they would tell me, Rev, you got here too late. And I'm going to know, what do you mean? You should have been here when I was a child, 6-7 years of age, so that you could have saved me. You know, and that's what we need to do with this community around us. I don't know how you're going to do it, because it's a lot different from the community that I'm in, where you have these high-rise apartment buildings and garden apartments all in one big area. But we have to find a way to reach this community and others like it around the country. I say we can do more, and it is our duty to do more. I tell people a lot of times, think, go get the movie, Dr. Zhivago. You need to look at it. Think about the German who tried to rule the world. You need to think about these things, because people are plotting. They're taking away the middle class. And people won't accept that forever. You need to understand that. People will get tired. If you're working in New York City for $6 or $7 an hour, that's slave wages. And people are not going to accept it forever. Our commitment must be focused, strategic, long-term, and visionary in scope. And like I say, it's not a job for the faint of heart. It is a job for those with a vocation, a calling. It's work that must be done. And our ministry begins when you leave here today. Thanks for having me. Amen.